We're almost done with the book of 2 Corinthians. I had a chapter and a half to do, so I broke it up into two sermons. You get one more sermon next week. But Paul the Apostle, he gives to the Corinthians a heart of love. He was for their maturity, their growth, and you got to take your hat off to Paul, for he never varied away from being an apostle, what God had called him to be. And last week we looked at Paul declaring, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, all for Christ's sake. For Paul realized that when he was weak in the flesh and in the spirit, then he was strong in the Lord. Paul came to know that his sufferings brought about the power of God to rest upon his life. Now, in today's world, we alleviate any kind of suffering by any medication available. But Paul gravitated towards his calling as an apostle and not considering the hardships, not considering its difficulties. And Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and it was obvious. He asked the Lord three times to remove it, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. But this thorn was an outward appearance, some sort of handicap that Paul had to deal with. And when Paul says, I take pleasure in my infirmities, we get a look on the inside of Paul. He looked at his daily hardships of the faith. He looked at how it was difficult to convince people to walk in a way worthy of Christ. And so Paul, he boasts of his infirmities. Paul's infirmities kept him in submission to Christ. His sufferings he wore like a badge of honor. So let's read 2 Corinthians 12, 11 through 13. I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs, wonders, and in mighty deeds. What is it which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me for this wrong. Paul's only regret with the Corinthians was he did not receive financial support from them. And this is the second time Paul will write and declare, maybe I was wrong in not receiving support from you, even though you are a poor people. But he says, you Corinthians, you should have honored me. I should have been commended by you, for the deeds of an apostle were done among you. Mighty deeds, wonders, healings, etc. For there in Corinth, they would bring cloths that poor Paul wore when he was sewing and making tents, and they would lay them on the sick people, and God would heal them just as a token of faith that they were trusting in God for healing. And Paul was also an excellent teacher. He never withheld spiritual truths from the Corinthians. And Paul declares, in nothing was I shy in my teaching or in signs and wonders of healing. And I should have been commended by you, but I wasn't. Paul openly tells Corinth, you did not receive me as an apostle as you should have. Paul says to Corinth through a letter, not in person, he's writing this in a letter, I was truly an apostle to you. I should have been accepted, commended by you, but unfortunately I wasn't. And all the signs of me being an apostle were accomplished among you. You really have no complaint, Corinthians, for signs and wonders and mighty deeds were there, and they were openly manifested to you. The only complaint you have towards me is I did not receive any compensation or support from you. And he says, in this oversight, perhaps I should have received payment from you. A church, a body of believers, are to support their pastor. And you saints do that. I live a supported life. And I appreciate this. And we're small, but hey, my needs are more than met. And Paul will continue in 2 Corinthians 14 through 18, chapter 12. Now for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? And now Paul is writing this letter. It's his third letter to Corinth. The second letter actually was lost, so 2 Corinthians is actually the third letter Paul wrote to them. And he said, I'm ready to come to you, but I will not be a burden upon you. In Paul's first visit to Corinth, he founded the church there at Corinth. And he stayed there a year and a half. And that was a lifetime for Paul to stay anywhere for that length of time. His second visit was brief, where Paul chastises Corinth with harshness, and that's between the first and the second letter. Now Paul states, I am prepared to come to you a third time, but I still refuse to receive any support from you. Paul couldn't get past this. Paul, he did take up an offering from the Corinthian, but it was for the poor church at Jerusalem, even more poor than Corinth. The early church as a whole was mostly made up of workers and even slaves, and the early church was poverty-stricken. And today, as Lori and I benefit from your support, we're not in poverty. We live a good life. God has met our needs through this congregation, even this small congregation. We live on a small farm. Can't get that out of me. I like farms. And we have beef cows. Paul presents how an apostle should live, and he lived a life of self-support. He would not take up an offering for himself there at Corinth. Now, I have a bone to pick with some pastors, even some Calvary Chapel pastors, with some of the gigantic wages they receive. Mega churches, mega salaries. Here at this Calvary, we try our best to be good stewards of God's funds. This beautiful building, it's ours. along with the 5 acres it sits on. And we have several ministries, worthy ministries, that we support. So God has blessed us. So rest assured, your tithes and offering are used to support God's kingdom. Paul states, I am about loving you as Christian believers, as saints here at Corinth. And he said, Titus and my fellow brothers of ministry have not taken advantage of you. That's a mouthful. A minister should be obligated to feed the flock of God that God gives him. By teaching, by conviction, living out the word of God before the people. But there is within the body of Christ, and I use that term loosely, those who grow rich off the people. Never let that be said of me. I have boasted to those who question, you pastors have a soft life. You don't work physically, you just study a little bit, prepare a sermon, and you call that work. But I was a late bloomer. And I didn't become a pastor till I was 51 years old. This was the first church I pastored. This is my only tenure as a pastor. And I came back to Alabama in 1995 after we sold our farms in California and planting this huge fellowship. But I wanted to be faithful to you. Now my age has caught up with me. And there will not be any future pastorates. I'm an old geezer, I guess they call them. I'm an old geezer. So bear with me as I age before your eyes. I was noticing, I seldom look in the mirror. I shave in the shower and, you know, comb my hair in the shower. And I notice I got these wrinkles that come down here. So, let me appear to you in a face-lifted way. But I do my best to be faithful. I have been allowed to finish my course, my productive years, and they have had meaning. My last years since turning 51 have been my best years in life. And I'm doing a good work, hopefully unto my Lord and unto you people. My past, I was in business for 12 years, and I was a farmer for a few more years, but now I'm a pastor, and I can't get used to that term. Somebody will say, hey, pastor, and I look over my shoulder to see who they're talking to. But God has been faithful, and he's allowed me to have meaningful service as a Christian. Paul refused to take money for doing what God called him to do, suffering the way Paul was pointed out to Paul by Ananias that he must suffer. But I have a lot of respect for pastors who give of themselves, not for money, but as a service unto their people and unto God. I have several heroes of the faith. You want to hear who my heroes are? Well, I start that list with Chuck Smith, a great example. And I got to know Chuck semi, not close friends, but we were acquaintances. I also respect Gail Irwin, who has retired. I respected my pastor in Modesto, Damian Kyle. These are guys that I looked up to and counted it a pleasure and a privilege to know them. But on the flip side of that, turn that coin over, I dislike many TV pastors and ministries. They always seem to be about receiving offerings versus serving. Years ago, when we first moved back to this area, there was a local mother, a widow, and she was brought up on charges of child abuse. Upon investigating her, she was giving her grocery money to support a female TV minister and not providing food for her children. Now, this TV minister, she was high profile, and she would always talk about give to God and he will supply your needs. Meanwhile, this widow lady, her children went hungry. Now, did this high-profile ministry know that the woman was giving her last dollars to support them? Probably not. But she sent her last offering. She sent several hundred dollars to this TV ministry while her children went hungry. Now, you can call me old-fashioned, you can call me ancient or whatever, but that TV ministry still cashed the checks. They received the money. Now, today, we still get requests for money from people who can't pay their electric bill, or they need gas money, or whatever. And invariably, I will always ask them this question. Do you attend church? And if you attend church, why are you asking me for help instead of the church you attend for help? Good question. Most will give an excuse as to why they don't attend church. But I prompt them to attend church and seek help from that church you attend. For some people I know would rather ask help from a stranger than to be found faithful to a church. So, sermon comes down to this. So when you and I are confronted by a person pleading or begging for money, allow the Lord to lead you. If that person is at a gas station, put gas in their car. Don't hand them cash. If you're at a drive-thru restaurant, and there's many of them, buy them a hamburger. Be compassionate. But don't be a chump. Know where you're giving and what they stand for. Sometimes the easiest thing to do is simply hand a person a few dollars and go your way. Do your due diligence. Check them out as much as possible. Now, I do not like to be taken advantage of, especially with church money. I'd rather be beaten out of money than the church be beaten out of money. So when you get called upon to help someone, to give to them, bother to check it out. Pray with them if possible, and help them if possible, if the Lord leads you that way, but do your due diligence. So, as Paul concludes this book of 2 Corinthians, he boasts about his infirmities, talks about his shipwrecks, talks about being beaten, talks about a lot of different things. But Paul says, I suffered them all that the power of Christ may be in me. I wish I had more of that attitude in my life. For I'm not fond of suffering. I don't like to suffer. I'm against pain medication. I take very, very little pain medication, and I've had kidney stones. That should tell you something. kidney stones will knock you to your back. But be faithful to God. If he calls upon you to be giving, give. Give generously. But check it out. There is nothing wrong with checking out where you're spending God's money that he's made you a steward over. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, you call us to be men and women of compassion, and you present before us many times opportunities to help people, and we should help people. We should be good stewards. We should be looking for opportunities to do good works. So, Lord, lead us into good works. And when we're in the midst of that decision-making time, reveal to us your will. We want to know your will when we try to help people. We want to know your will when people ask us for donations or whatever. So help us to understand that, Lord. But above all, help us to be men and women of compassion. We want to be loving those around us, helping those we can. But Lord, we don't want to be foolish either. So you divide that for us. You separate the need from the want in our own life. Help us that way, Lord. And Father, we want to give you thanks again for your goodness to us. Lord, I thank you for men like the Apostle Paul, who was so willing to suffer that he might be strong in you, Lord. Give us that heart, give us that attitude before you, that we would be willing to suffer for your causes. So help us, Lord. In all that we say and do, help us to be men and women of God in all that we do. So we give you praise and we give you thanks, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.